If you will, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, book number 5 in the Bible. And if you will turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Chapter 8, we did a short series these last 2 weeks on dependence upon God. It's page 153 in your pew Bible. And we have been considering how dependence upon God breeds thankfulness, and this morning, desire for proper stewardship of all His gifts and graces. And so we will be considering this passage this morning, the second half of the text here, verses 11 through 20. But before we read God's Word, would you please pray with me? Let's ask Him to open our hearts, our minds, that we may hear this which is true and living and active, the Word of God. So pray with me. Our Father and our God, thank You for the privilege of coming to Your worship. And we ask, O Lord, that You would speak. Speak to us now by Your Word, by Your Spirit, that we could hear. Father, everything we have is a gift from You, and we acknowledge that now. So fill us, Father, with the gift of Your Word, that we may live our lives in honor of You, that we may serve, that we may receive Your grace. Father, we thank You for Christ, the One who gave everything, that we might have relationship with You. So now show us the beauty of life in Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Two key words here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. By the way, did you know that Deuteronomy is the third most quoted book in the New Testament? The third most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament is the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus often quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. As a matter of fact, in His temptations, in the wilderness wanderings, all three of His quotations, His responses back to Satan, are from the book of Deuteronomy. It is a rich book and a very practical book. As the people are in the wilderness, preparing for the promised land, as their hopes and dreams are about to be fulfilled in a good land that God is giving them, God reminds them when they step foot into a good land that they must remember and they must not forget. That wilderness paradigm comes through into the New Testament. We are told that this life is a wilderness longing for heaven, the true promised land. And so the themes here are good themes for us. We remember with thanksgiving and we are called not to forget, for we are stewards of God's grace. Now hear God's Word as we prepare to hear it preached. Verse 11, page 153 of chapter 8. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through a great and terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, verse 17. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish, like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish. because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. NPR recently had an account of a study that's been done for decades about people who have been blindfolded and told to walk in a straight line. Anybody in the room ever put a blindfold on and tried to walk in an extensive way, blindfolded in a straight line? Well, apparently it's not possible. It is not possible to continuously walk blindfolded in a straight line. After just a little bit of time, you start to circle back on yourself. And over the decades, scientists and sociologists have tried to explain why it is that a person can't walk in a straight line with a blindfold on, and they are stumped. They can't quite understand why it is that if you put somebody in a field and tell them to walk, they will inevitably turn back in on themselves, either to the left or the right, and they will walk in circles. And those circles will get smaller and smaller. Their equilibrium goes awry. They are unable to keep course, even though they think they are keeping course. They are walking in circles when they think they are going straight forward. Now, there's a physical principle that actually has a good spiritual reality to it. There are times when we think we're trucking along just fine and our equilibrium goes awry and we just can't keep doing donuts, turning in circles, making ruts all along the way. And Moses comes to the people of Israel preaching his last sermon series, and he warns them not to turn back in on themselves, that everything they have is from the Lord, and that all that the Lord gives is good, and all the Lord gives is for His service. So keep your fixed point, O people of Israel, Moses is saying. Keep your fixed point on the Lord. You see, what happens when a person is blindfolded, they get short-sighted. They have no fixed point to keep the horizon of a straight line going. And spiritually speaking, you can't keep on course unless you are dependent upon God, unless your horizons, at the end of your horizon, you have set yourself to follow the Lord. What keeps our path straight day to day in this walk, in this wilderness, this side of heaven, is to keep our heart and our mind and our eyes focused on a God who is good. And to that end, God says, I give you good things, so steward my grace well. God has called us to be stewards of His grace. Now, here's the challenge. The problem with that is this. The problem is this. When we struggle with hard times, our natural inclination is to turn towards the Lord. But when things are well, when we are fat and happy, we tend to turn in. We tend not to depend on the Lord, but to depend on our own efforts and resources. And it's very interesting here. Moses is telling the people of Israel something about God. Because the people of Israel are just like us. When we have hard times, when we struggle with resources, when our financial portfolio takes a big dip and we're not sure we're going to be able to retire, when our health plummets and we begin to consider what the long-term impacts of a certain struggle or disease is going to be upon us, when we are wrestling, we ask this question, how can I survive? I mean, day by day, week by week, that's how the pastor, me, that's how I spend my day. I spend my days talking to people about the hardships in their life. But you know what I rarely hear? Oh, maybe 1 in 1,000. I rarely hear people come and say, Wade, I got a big pay raise today. My boss is so happy with my work, he doubled my salary, and I'm worried about that. I rarely have people come to my office and say, Wade, did you see the press release? Something the organization I was a part of did something grand, and I was quoted. Did you read that? I'm worried about that. What's that going to mean for my spiritual health? You know, we rarely question how the good is going to impact our spiritual health, don't we? We rarely struggle with that aspect. And it's very interesting, right here in Deuteronomy 8, what is God saying? In the hard times, I took care of you. But God says, pay attention. In the good times, you may forget me. And if you forget, you perish. Here's a spiritual principle for you this morning. We are concerned about the hard times. Can I make it? God is concerned about the plentiful times. Can you make it? Because when we lack, we turn to God. And when we have, we turn from God. You see, there's exactly where Moses is going in verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His rules, His statutes. When He brings you into this good land, when you have everything you want, take care. You may forget. And if you forget, it will be to your detriment. Why is that? Well, John Sartell says it this way. Prosperity does not press us to ask survival questions. When I've got cancer, I ask, how can I survive? When the economy falls out from under us, we ask, how are we going to make it this year? When our children do things that we struggle with, we turn to the Lord immediately. When the accident happens and aspects of life are snatched away from us, we are concerned. But when we are done good by God, we begin to forget. Do not forget the Lord your God. Moses doesn't get to make this journey with the people of Israel across the promised land. God's going to bring him home before they enter in. But his final dictum is, remember God is good. Be thankful God has cared for you in the wilderness. In this inhospitable place, God sustains you. But even when you enter the promised land, don't forget it's God who sustains you. Do not forget the Lord your God. Everything you have is from Him. And so the question before us this morning is, will we forget? Will we utilize God's gifts and graces well? That necessitates a proper stewardship. A stewardship that realizes that all we have is a gift from the Lord. All we have is a gift of God. You see, God is committed to this. In Christ, those whom He saves and draws into, He is committed to keep you dependent upon Him. And God will go to whatever lengths helps you remember Him first. Because God can have no rivals. But here's the problem for us all, isn't it? Our hearts always have rivals. Our love of Jesus, there's always competition for our love of Jesus. And so God reminds us again and again, everything we have is a gift of the Lord. All we have is a gift from God. It's that point that he's making here in verses 11 through 14. All we have is a gift from God. Take care lest you forget. Well, what would you forget? Well, notice down there in verse 12 that when you've eaten and are full, you're going into a good land. He's told us up in verses 7 through 10, a land full of food. You will not have scarcity of bread. You'll have everything you need. When you've eaten and are full, you might forget that was a gift of the Lord. When you get gold and silver, when you build your houses, you may forget that that's a gift of the Lord. But what is God saying through Moses to His people? What's He saying to us? All we have is a gift. All we have is a gift from the Lord, and we must depend upon Him. Beloved, don't take the gifts of God for granted. Because when you take those gifts for granted, you take God for granted. I'm willing to bet I'm probably one of three men in the room who actually like Black Friday. How many of y'all like to go shopping on Black Friday? Hey, there's a couple guys. I know that because when I'm in the stores, I see all women. Women love Black Friday. Men, not so much. I talked to two guys this last Black Friday. I said, how you doing? My wife wanted me to come, so I'm here. They weren't happy about being in the stores. But I actually love Black Friday. You know why I love it? Because this will tell you a little bit about the obsessive nature of the pastor. I never buy anything at regular price if I can help it. I want the good deal. And you know where the name Black Friday comes from, by the way. Historically, it was, and my brother-in-law says that this is the myth, but that it was the day that businesses went from being in the red to being in the black. It was when they started to make a profit. And yet, you know, you get all these leaflets on Thursday, Thanksgiving, you can look through and search for the good deals, and I do that. And my goal is to go in the store and pay as little time as I can. If they don't have it, I leave. Now, their goal is to get me in the store hoping that it's not there and I'll buy something else. But I'm a man on a mission. The reason I like Black Friday is because I'm going for the good deal. 80% of my Christmas shopping is done because Black Friday is over. And I got the good deal, right? I got the gift. We're always looking for the next good deal. And so the pastor makes his list and he goes in. You know, I don't go for those things that I know are going to be sold out in the first 10 minutes. But I've gotten over the years where I can look at the leaflets and I can say, that's a good deal. I check it on Amazon and make sure it's a good deal. And then I say, all right, I'm going to go get that. And I walk in the store and I get it and I walk out. And there's the challenge. I feel victorious. For me, Black Friday is about victory. I beat the retailer. I got the good deal. He lost money. I got money. Gifts and good deals. I'm not so uncommon to other people, am I? I might go about it a different way. For me, it's a matter of conquering and controlling and having. And Moses knows that's the way the human heart works. We want and we want and we want. And if we can get what we want, we'll hold on fast to it. And all the time forgets that behind the deal, behind the gift is the giver. Behind the opportunity is the grace. Behind the reality is the Lord. Don't forget. Wade, you are not self-sufficient. The Lord tells me it again and again. You are not an end unto yourself. You are created for me. And all you have is a gift. Do you hear the Lord speaking that to you? That's exactly what Moses is saying to you this morning. All we have is a gift. We live in a good land. We have good homes. We have the opportunity for economic advancements. And God would remind us, as He reminds the people of Israel, it's all a gift. And a steward remembers that it all belongs to him anyway. All we have is a gift of the Lord. We're not self-made people. We have nothing that does not originate with God. And so you need to be reminded of that, or your heart will forget. And to forget is to fail. To forget is to miss the mark. To forget is to relinquish your identity in some way, that you are a person in need who is graced deeply by God in Christ Jesus. You see, the true steward understands that what I have, even what I've gotten by the sweat of my brow, even that is a gift from God. God is good to His people, and He gives good gifts. And we need to realize that a good stewardship acknowledges this principle of ownership. I and all I have belong to the Lord, because it's all His gift in the first place. Principle number one, verses 11 through 14 here, what Moses is telling his people, forget not, because everything you have comes from the Lord. When it multiplies, when it multiplies, when it multiplies, fail not to remember that all you have is a gift from the Lord. So first this morning, all we have is a gift. Second this morning, I want you to see in verses 17 and 18, all we need is provided. Jump down to verse 17 there with me in our text. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and my might and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. And then comes the corrective. There's the thought process. When you've got all you want, you tend to become self-sufficient, right? But then here comes our principle. All that we have is provided. Though we think it comes from our hand, beware. Why? Because verse 18 is the corrective. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. Notice there, what is it that's being drawn forth for us? All we need is provided. Don't get high and mighty and haughty in yourself. You do not want to be in a power struggle with God. You do not want to be in a power struggle with God. You want to do. We are a needy people, and God meets us at our point of need. You know, as a needy people, maybe no illustration is better suited than to look at our children when they're young. Right? There are a dozen families in here right now holding on to kids, trying to keep them silent so that you will be able to hear the sermon. Those kids have the wiggles, right? You know, we realize that our children are needy. And when they have a need, where do they come? They come to us. And they come with expectations, right? Out of the womb, our children come with expectations. Milk, please! That's what every cry is. Diaper change, please! All right, most of the time it doesn't have the please attached to it, does it? Ah! Fix my world! And what does a good mom do? She fixes that child's world. She meets the need. And again and again and again, moms, you feel taken it for granted, don't you? Because you serve, you help, you do, and you've provided. And your child feels like the king of the world. Because you have done such a good job in providing for them, at times you will feel taken for granted. That principle taken to a greater scheme is just how we respond in our relationship to the Lord, don't we? We get His gift again and again and again, His provision again and again and again. And we get so used to it, we just expect. That's God's business. God, You take care of me. And the thing is that's true. It is God's business to take care of His children. As a matter of fact, it's His promise. Notice there, why is it that He is so good to us? Because He promised on covenant oath to our forefathers that He would be there for us. That He would watch over us. That He would care for us. And God is always true to His promise. But be careful, don't get too high and mighty. Because there's this transition that happens in our minds. When God has given us good things, we get to the point where we begin to say, I don't need You anymore. I'll take this one on my own, Lord. I've got it covered. And as soon as we do that, you need to be prepared to fall flat on your face. Why? Because all you need is provided. It's a principle of stewardship. All we have is a gift. And because it's a gift, we need to see that the principle of ownership is that we belong. Us and our resources belong to the Lord. But all we have, all that we need is provided because God wants us to remember that dependence is at the heart of the Christian life. As it was for Israel here, God was giving them the best. And in the midst of that, they were to rest in Him. See, we need to understand that in prosperity, our need is less apparent, but no less real. Some of you are students. You're coming to the end of a semester. And you're worried, right? I've got a differential equation final next week. And you're thinking about all the stressors and struggles of life and how you'll ever get through that. And what you need to realize is that, yes, you're called to an effort to study, to prepare, to go at it with all your heart. But God is the one who's gifted you with an intellect, with an ability, with an opportunity. Even serve now, grow now, so that you may serve more fully later. Some of you are businessmen and businesswomen. You've got all your capital tied up into opportunities. And you're thinking about when you make that big boom, how you're going to spend it. And when it comes, it will all be because it was a gift of God and He provided what you needed. Yes, you worked hard to produce. But the idea, the ability, the opportunities all have an underlying rationality that they come from God. Some of you have worked hard for years and years. And now it's time to sit back a little. And you can see that God has provided your need. But you get concerned. Will it make it to the end? Here's the promise of God. For those who depend, all you need will be provided. He will draw out of us the work and the necessity of dependence. But He will give and meet us where we need. And sometimes in prosperity we fail to see that because we begin to think that we've got this one on our own. But God reminds us we can get on no power kick. God controls it all. And a good steward acknowledges that God's provision is true to the end. Stewardship is about a mindset. I belong to God. Life is a gift. What I need, He provides, so that everything I do must be for His service. It's the third principle I want you to see this morning. Not only is Moses teaching us this morning that all we have is a gift and all we need is provided, he is teaching us this morning that all we seek is for His service. All we seek is for His service. Notice here, in verse 19, we get, as it were, the crux of the matter. God is saying to His people, when I give you good, don't forget, remember, and serve me. Notice there in verse 19, all we have is for His service. In verse 19, and if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations around you are perishing today without me, you will perish too. That's kind of a hard word. But inevitably, when we forget, when we fail to keep God in center place, we begin to stumble and fall. And if we turn away from God wholly, we perish. It's the principle that is ingrained in the DNA of the universe. God must be first. God must not be forgotten. God must be central. And all that turns from God perishes. And so it's not just enough to say that we've got God's gifts and that God provides our needs. All He gives us is for to a particular end, to the end of His glory, to the end of His service. So little or much, whatever God's given you this morning, it's for His glory. But kingdoms in conflict begin to happen within us, right? We begin to struggle with what's ours and what's God's. That's why you got to go back to the first principle. It's all God's. But we begin to struggle with that. And then the struggle and the indictments in our hearts begin to go, you know, I'll serve God as long as. No, the truth is I'll serve God. There's a matter of trust there. Trust so we don't perish. Trust so that we see the Lord. Trust so that we depend on the Lord. Why? Because all that we have was provided. In the hard times, we see that. And they have seen that. Israel has seen that. When they were in the wilderness, in a great and terrifying wilderness there in verse 15, when they were facing the fiery serpents and the scorpions, when there wasn't enough water, it was God who provided. And God says, I am God, and I provided then, and I will provide now. But don't forget. You see, at the heart of stewardship is not forgetting. Not forgetting all we have is for His service. I'm not sure if any of y'all saw the game. I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights of the Steelers versus the Buffalo Bills last week. the hapless Buffalo Bills. Any Buffalo Bill fans in the... No, they never win, so why be a fan, right? The hapless Buffalo Bills, they took the Steelers to overtime, and the game-winning throw was within reach of the clutches of a good wide receiver. And he went to catch that ball, and it went in his hands and out of his hands, and the Steelers came back and won the game. Now, that happens in football, professional football, all the time. You live through a week of bad press, and you go on. That's how you deal with it. But not this guy. I was running on a treadmill when I saw it, but actually an elliptical when I saw it. But then I looked up, and here it was. The guy had gone. He'd become a twit by tweeting, right? He just put his thoughts out there. And after the game, he must have pulled up his iPad and got on his Twitter salvo, and he just wrote in all caps these words right here. I praise you 24/7. And this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this. Ever. ESPN, I believe it was Monday morning, trashing God. That's what caught my attention. Trashing God. And then they put up the tweet. And then for two or three days, that was all over the press. Then they handled it a little differently than I would have handled it. I read that and I go, oh my. Somebody's upset. And they couldn't believe it. And he had some statements about that and their misunderstanding of that. And I'm sure he'll repent at some point. Pray that he repents at some point. But here's the point. What is Mr. Johnson teaching us about his view of God? He doesn't have one God. He's got two. He's got an idea of the God who is and the God who is to serve him and to give him what he needs. That's really two gods. He's really struggling with what our passage talks about here, idolatry. You see, the sin under poor stewardship, the sin under the sin there is to forget God. And the sin under the sin of forgetting, Moses says that's idolatry. Notice there again in verse 19. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods, forgetting leads to what? It leads to idolatry. And at the heart of this wide receiver's issue was an idolatry. God is good if I am a success. And the truth is simpler than that. God is good. I need Him. And I am here to serve Him. If God doesn't give you everything you want, it doesn't mean that God is no longer good. It may mean that God has a different plan in your direction and future. But God is still good. And even in your hardship, you are bound to steward His graces and serve Him. I hope you understand this morning that God gives us what we need to help us live for Him. And stewardship is the heart of confronting the spiritual amnesia that would seek to control us. It is so easy to forget the Lord. What do you have to do to forget? Virtually nothing. But to remember and to cultivate a view of God that is dependent is day by day work. But, beloved, it's good work. And God comes to you this morning and He says, don't forget. Don't forget. I am your God. Don't forget. So resolve to pursue me. God comes to you this morning and says, I have orchestrated your place and your time. Don't squander it. Don't forget. Follow the Lord your God. God comes and says, your opportunities and your circumstances are by my design. Don't forget. Follow the Lord your God. But then we come to the real crux of the matter. We're not capable. We're not capable of pursuing the Lord in all the ways we are to pursue. But God has dealt with that too, hasn't He? The man. The Son of God, the friend of friends. God didn't leave us to our own efforts to make ourselves okay to remember. He sent us a Son who stood in our place and secured our rights and gives us the hope that we may remember. Because, beloved, this morning, this is what's worth remembering. This is what you should never forget, is that God is so committed to you that He doesn't just give you good things. He gives you the good Son. And that's the thing that confronts our spiritual amnesia. That's what confronts our need. Because what we fail to do, Jesus did. You know, I quoted last week from this passage. From this passage, when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, when He went through His 40 days of wilderness, as Israel had gone through their 40 years of wilderness, when Satan came to Him after 40 days of fasting, 40 days of not eating, and told Him to turn this stone into bread, what was it that Jesus confronted Him back with? Deuteronomy 8:3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And He's not just saying there, I'm spiritually strong and I don't need you, I've got God. No, He's saying, God is the staff of my life. I want my manna from God alone. You know, Satan was seeking to dupe Him, take the easy way out. And Satan continually is seeking to dupe us. But Jesus is our provision. He took Jesus in that passage, Matthew chapter 4, up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, throw yourself down. The angels will protect you. Test God. And Jesus says, I will not put God to the test. The Bible says, you shall not put God to the test. Another quote from Deuteronomy, by the way. And then finally, Satan takes Jesus up to a high mountain and shows Him the kingdoms of the world and said, all this can be yours for the simple price of bowing your knee. I won't send you to a cross, Jesus. All you got to do is bow the knee to me and it's all yours. It's the easy way out. Jesus said, be gone, Satan. Be gone. And again, He quotes from Deuteronomy. And there we are reminded that the answer to our needs are all bound up in Jesus. How will you steward God's graces? By keeping the man of grace at the center of your life. You can't do this alone, beloved. I'm not sending you out just to have a better mindset about who owns it all. I'm telling you why God owns it all. Because Jesus gave His life for you. Jesus took you to make you friend. So rest in Jesus. The rest in Christ begins to take care of the stewardship issues. Because when you see the beauty of Jesus, you see this principle. All we have is a gift. Jesus laid down His life for us. All we need is provided. The resurrection of Jesus provides our place and our standing with God. And all we are is for His service. As the Son served, we are to serve. And He empowers us to serve. Because He gave His life as a ransom. Beloved, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Serve the living God. Some of you may be questioning. You know, I do think I am my own. I don't care to be bought with a price this morning. But still, Jesus would come. He would remind you that you have a need. And you can fill that need with all kinds of other things, but the only thing that will ever fill the real need of your heart is Jesus. Stewardship begins with the Savior. All we have is a gift. All we need is provided. All we are is to seek Him. And Jesus makes the way sure. Follow the Savior in stewarding His grace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You've given each of us resources and intellect and abilities and opportunities and time and talents that are not of our own making. And yet again and again we take You for granted. Father, help us not. Help us not to strike out on our own, but to depend upon You, to see our need and to rejoice that You are a God who gives and to follow. Father, would You make us, because of the work of Jesus in us and on our behalf, would You make us stewards of grace so that our treasure would be Yours and we would give freely from it, so that our time would be Yours and we would use it for Your glory, that our talents would be Yours, and that all that You've given us would be harnessed for Your glory. We need You, Father. Draw us near in Jesus and strengthen us for His name's sake. Amen.